You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
He said, like, my goal is to be, I think the, what was the word he used? It was strong. I think he said, my goal is to be legendary. No, I play the game to be immortal. And I go, whoa, that's a big word. But I've known him since he was a junior in high school. He is, dude. And so with Caleb, when he said on my podcast he wanted to be immortal, I don't know, I'm just translating that into a different way of saying it, like be the best athlete ever. And he's off to a hot start.
Hey now, what's cracking? Welcome to the Jim Rome Podcast and welcome to episode number 307, where the focus of today's conversation is the single most important position in all of sports. Today we talk quarterbacks with a dude who played the position for 7 years in the NFL and now trains some of the very best to do it. Very few people know the ins and outs of quarterbacking like my guest this week, making his return to the original side hustle. It is the QB guru. It is Jordan Palmer. Jordan is the founder of QB Summit, where he has worked with the likes of Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, and Trevor Lawrence, just to name a few. Those dudes any good? That's what I mean when I say that Jordan brings a perspective on the position that very few can offer. And some of the most talented dudes in the world respect that perspective, which is why I always love the chance to bring that perspective right here to the original side hustle and get inside his head, crawl around a little bit, and see what he's thinking. So let's get right to it. It is episode 307 with the quarterback whisperer himself, Jordan Palmer, and it's coming at you right now. Jordan, it is great to have you back on the pod and go long form, chop it up. It's your time of year, my man. What's going on? How you feeling?
I'm doing great, man. I just wrapped up my final of three pro days for the draft class that I had this year. And I had one at Princeton today, and I'm at an Irish pub outside of Newark Airport doing this interview, getting a Guinness, and then heading home.
My man, that's great. So when you wrap up three pro days like that, and that's your final one, I know what that getaway day is like. Maybe not exactly like your getaway day, but man, how good is that Guinness?
Oh, it's good. It's fun, you know, because draft training has a lot of training, but you also really get to know these guys. You know, there's a reason I'm so close with some of my veteran NFL clients, and it's because during the draft process, yeah, we throw, we lift, we run, we do all the stuff. But when you go through the interview prep side of things, one, I'm a vault, so you got to tell me everything because I got to know where the bodies are buried and what might come up in these interviews so I can prepare you for them. And so, one, I get to know these guys, I don't know, as good as anybody. And then, two, you know, they grow a lot off the field. I love the developmental side of this where you're really, you know, pouring into the soul of who these young men are. And when you go from amateur to pro, and I know it's not really amateur anymore because they're making money in college, but when you go from amateur to pro, there's a lot of newness, right? New league, new rules, new team, new city, new offense, new defense, new coverages, new everything. You're not in class anymore, marketing. So there's just a lot of newness. And my job is to eliminate as much of that as I can over a three-month period. And so, you know, when you wrap the pro day, certainly not the last time we'll talk. They all remain clients, but it is the culmination of something. And, you know, for my guys, it's about going 4 for 4. The All-Star game is the first one. If you're playing in the Shrine, the Senior Bowl, second's a combine, third is the pro day. And the fourth is these 30 visits coming up, knocking those out of the park. So, it's great. I'm pumped for them, you know, big hug at the end, but also, we're 3 for 3, but we need to go 4 for 4.
I think that is so interesting what you just said to unpack all of that. But, you know, the one thing, Jordan, that I think is really interesting when you said, I'm a vault, but man, you got to tell me everything. If you want me to help you, I need to know everything. Are they generally, and your reputation precedes itself, so they're going to open up, but how difficult a thing is that? Like, are guys resistant to let you in and build that trust immediately, or do they understand this is the process, I got to give it all up?
Yeah, it's case by case, but no, I haven't had anything where I found out later that wasn't the truth, you know?
Yeah.
And then there's stuff where that's out there, and that I'm going to come in and help them with that. For example, you know, Jordan Love had got in trouble in college and it was out there. Everybody knew what he had done. It wasn't a big deal, but like, so it was really coming in to help him with you know, how are we going to address this head on, you know? And there's other guys where something happened. I don't know if anybody knows, but we need to be prepared to answer for it or to not open up a trap door where they're going to ask us about that. And also helping these guys really authentically share with these teams, you know, who they are and what makes them tick. And so honestly, I'm the only person that does this, but part of my team for draft prep. So I've got a speed coach, you know, and him and his team are incredible and they work with a lot of guys. And I've got a strength coach and a physical therapist that they go see. But I think I'm the only person that does this. I actually hire, he's my high school buddy, but I hire my buddy Tommy Rodriguez, who's a therapist, not a physical kind. And he does therapy. And my guys do 10 sessions with Tommy. And it's really unpacking what their core values are, what makes them who they are, going deep on their story. And those conversations with Tommy are private. I'm not a part of those. And so being able to provide resources for these guys at a time when, yeah, there's a combine and pro day, but relatively speaking, this is like the least amount of stuff they got going on, right? They know every day what it kind of looks like, right? We're going to work out, then we're going to run, then we're going to throw, then we're going to lift, then we're going to this, that. But they don't have stuff coming up because their calendar is essentially wiped clean and I kind of control the schedule. And so, you know, I've added layers where, you know, even if I can't help you with this, I brought in another person who I meet with, you know, who can be honest, who's also a vault, but can give you practical application and some tools to address whatever needs to be addressed that, you know, just hasn't come up in your career yet.
Hmm. So, Jordan, how does it work? For instance, are you at a point right now where you pick them, they pick you? Do they have to get through a selection process? Are you willing to work with anybody? At this point in your career, how does that work?
It's got to be mutual. I'm not going to say there's a selection process and I get back to the people to let them know if they're in. That's definitely not the case. But I also won't take anybody or somebody that I have never met and don't know anything about. So this time of year, we evaluate how athletic, not just quarterbacks, these players are. Okay. So, and the metrics that we use to evaluate to say that guy's very athletic, that guy's just okay, and that guy over there is a terrible athlete, we use numbers. Their 40-yard dash, their vert, their pro agility, their broad jump is widely regarded as the best way to tell how explosive somebody is, broad jump, how much weight they lift, all those things, right? Yards, touchdowns, sacks, all that, right? So we use numbers as metrics to evaluate somebody's athleticism. And that's fine. But for what I do, I have a different lens at how I look at athleticism. And for me, I'll judge how athletic somebody is based off how quickly can you take an old movement pattern and replace it with a new one. So you've been throwing this way forever. Once we come to the conclusion that that's inefficient and I introduce a new, you know, make some subtle changes or whatever, essentially introduce a new movement pattern, how long does that take? And I've had guys that run 4.4. And it takes forever. And I've had guys that run 5.1 and it happens in one session. And so your numbers are actually less relevant to me. And so I want to see, are you athletic enough to replace that old movement pattern with a new one relatively quickly? If so, awesome. And then are you actually all in? Like, do you understand what I do well enough? Part of that's on me explaining it. Because I have a very different approach to the other people that are doing what I'm doing. So are you all in on making these changes and buying into this process? Because we do a lot of boring stuff, right? It's not really sexy. And if you're both of those things, if you're athletic, the way I look at it, and you're bought in, then I'll take you on. And I don't even care if you're an undrafted free agent.
I mean, so how you mentioned what you do is very different than what others who do what you do. How is your approach different? How are you different in that regard?
So there's you know, when I was, you and I are both Orange County guys. When I was coming out of high school in 2002, I played for Bob Johnson, who's a legendary high school football coach in the area, trained a lot of people, Rob's dad, you know, and, but he was like the only guy training quarterbacks. And as much as I could research, he's like the first guy to charge money for lessons,
right?
Based off of the resources available. And my brother was like one of his first clients when he was in eighth grade. So we know this. Nowadays, they're on every street corner, right? And the gurus and the whisperers and all the other terms you want to use. So none of what I'm about to say has anything to do with them. It's just my approach. And there are people out there that quarterbacks train with where they have an incredible program set up and they do an incredible job with helping guys with their throwing mechanics, right? And I think there's a couple guys out there who are actually probably know it better than I do, right? Or definitely do. And they have some of the same equipment and maybe a different methodology, but all of the time and focus is spent on the throwing mechanics and seeing improvement there. And I think that's a worthy cause. And I spend a lot of time on throwing mechanics, but I believe that the majority of mechanical issues that elite quarterbacks make, or majority of mechanical issues, so like negative things that come up, that happen with elite quarterbacks. And when I say elite, I mean like good college starter and up. Okay, high school is a different deal.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The majority of those issues stem from a movement that preceded the throw. And that's the that's the line I kind of lead with as I explain this to a lot of the NFL coaches and college coaches, is if somebody overstrides, right, they step too far when they threw, any quarterback coach would say that's a bad thing. That's bad. Now, they may not understand what causes it. Most of them don't, or how to fix it or whatever, but we would all see somebody overstride and go, ooh, he just overstrided. My argument is that you're not an overstrider. Something about your drop and when you move and get ready to throw, you're putting yourself in a position where the only thing you can do is overstride. So let's just get to the root of the issue and solve for the movement. And so I spend probably 75% of my time, whether it's an NFL, you know, top 10 player in the league quarterback client or an up and coming college guy, trying to help with the movement that precedes the throw. So receivers, if you get a receiver on your, let's say your new receiver for the Chargers, okay? And at some point that guy's going to come in, he's going to say, what's the route tree, right? How deep are curls? Do we convert this versus press? What's our route tree? What's the angle? What's my alignment? That's a natural question for a wideout to ask. I'm just kind of the only person asking these coaches and players, what's your drop tree? What are the drops they ask you to make? And how do we build consistent movement patterns to support those movements so that we never think about the footwork again? And it's from a scientific background on how the body works. And so it's not better or worse than other folks in the space. It's just we're kind of like not talking about the same thing.
I get it. It makes sense to me. Now, listen, this draft class is so top heavy. You've got some mock drafts, Jordan, that have four guys going in the top 10. So we could talk about any of them, but I want to ask you about somebody you've been working with, Joe Milton. He spent a couple of years in Michigan before he moved on to Tennessee. Now, we know he's got tremendous arm strength. What else do you like about him and his approach?
Well, let me just like make one input on that statement. I don't think it's tremendous. I think it's like the best I've seen, which is a really, really strong statement.
Interesting. Okay.
At this point, like coming through the draft process. Okay. Now here's some context. I backed up Carson Palmer, Jay Cutler, Blaine Gabbert, who is an underrated thrower. I've had a lot of guys come through this draft process. A couple go number one, a lot of first round picks. I would say at this point, and here's an example. On the pro day script, it's a lot of the same things on the pro day script. We focus on a lot of, you know, we make it his own, so to speak. But there's a lot of the same throws, right? I mean, there's only so many throws in football. And so there's one throw that that we do. It's called a Dino post. You usually run it from like the 25-yard line going in. And it's you line up out at a post and you get to 12 yards, you widen for three steps. And then you run towards, you know, the near upright. And the idea is that quarterback from gun, you take three and a hitch. And it ends up being from the 25-yard line, add five for the gun drop. I want it 8 yards deep in the end zone. So, you know, it's about 38. You know, it's between 35 and 40-yard throw, right? For Josh Allen, I backed it up to the 30 because he had a big arm. I wanted to show it. Milton threw, we did it from the 40 yesterday. Okay, so that's 40 plus 5 plus 8. On an absolute line, back-to-back dimes.
Wow.
So there's just a couple things. I you know, and I posted the video of him throwing it 80 yards too, right? And everybody picked that up on social. But it's actually the touch. It's his ability to stop and put trajectory on it and control the tempo. It's not just a big arm. I've seen big arms. But it's actually kind of all of it. Now, a lot of it was here when he showed up, and then a lot of it has gotten a lot better. And that's just the throwing portion. There's the rest of the position of his game that needs to develop, just like all these guys in the draft. But I actually am using the word unique now. And when I say unique, I mean different than the others.
I mean, it's an amazing explanation. So how do you think teams see him? Do they see him as unique the way you see him? And where do you see him going?
First question is, yeah, I think they do. I mean, I know they do because I was making comments to them after each throw yesterday at his pro day. You know, a handful of quarterback coaches there and coordinators to watch him. So I know that. But here's how I look. Let's get away from Joe for a second. Here's how I look at all these guys every year. Doesn't matter who they are. They all have deficiencies. Something that you're concerned about. An example could be, you know, you're not that tall. You're not that athletic. You don't learn very quickly. Your arm's not that strong. You haven't started that many games. Maybe off the field stuff. So they all have deficiencies. Right now, Caleb's, you know, viral because he had a pink phone and pink fingernails. And I don't know. I don't care. But even the number one picks have deficiency. Bryce Young might be too small. Caleb Williams, some of the, you know, the stuff that's popping up on social, there's concern. Like, none of them don't have any deficiencies. The question is, what do you have that's going to offset those deficiencies? Right. So let's take Brock Purdy, right? Seventh round pick or last pick of the draft. Okay. Well, he's not that big. His arm's not that strong. Okay. And those are probably the two deficiencies you'd say, right? Going through his draft last year or looking back on it. Okay. Well, what's he offsetting that with? Well, he had 1400 plus attempts in college. He stayed healthy for a long time. He's won a lot of games. He's really clutch. He handles lots of information. He stays the same all the time. So, you know what I mean? I can keep going here, but like,
sure.
Here's the deficiencies. Here's what we're doing to offset those deficiencies. So you can do that for every single player. And I that's what I challenge front offices to look at it through that lens is, okay, this guy's not that smart, but, and if there's no but, then don't draft him. But whatever, if you have enough to offset it, then is that a fit for your system? And so with Joe, he didn't start that many games. You know, he backed up Hendon Hooker the season before. And Michigan didn't pan out. They were moving musical chairs there for a couple of years. And so with Joe, I think you can offset that with the talent that's undeniable. And that's really the only one I've really heard. You know, people say read defenses on social media, but I don't know. I know that system, and that system just doesn't look the same as all the other systems, and they don't ask quarterbacks to read it the same way. So even if you say the system, you know, didn't prepare him, and so – that's a deficiency. Well, all right. Well, we're offsetting it with some unique physical talent, some unique size. I think he went 4.5 yesterday. Plus the work ethic, plus learns really quickly, processes a lot of information. He went to Michigan when he was 17 and he graduated in 3 years. And so, you know, you start looking at what are the deficiencies and then, or concerns, and then what am I offsetting it with? And I just think the list of things that you're offsetting it with Joe Milton is a long list.
So to that point, Jordan, what is the offset to pink fingernail polish and a pink phone case? I mean, look, I think you and I are probably on the same page on this. Like, who cares, man? Who really cares besides social media? But let me ask you this. Do you think that NFL teams would see that as a deficiency, any of them? I guess it only matters because we know who has the first pick. But knowing the league the way you know that, would anybody look at that as a, quote, deficiency?
It would be a thing that's talked about. It certainly is. A bunch of people, I'm running into the last 3 days. I'm just basically talking to scouts, front office guys and coaches, and everybody knows that I've spent a lot of time with Caleb. So they're all asking me. So the fact that we're talking about it, but is that going to influence anything? No, because he's offsetting it with, I mean, I don't know how much time we got.
Yeah, right.
You know what I
right.
mean?
Right. Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anybody? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep. You heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask me. Make the right call. Get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Yeah, but I mean, for instance, like, would you ever say to him, hey, man, you know what? It's just not worth it. Don't do it. Or are you going to say, no, you do you. I understand. It's you, man. It's your life. It's your thing. You do this because you do this, and there's a million things that offset it. Like, what would you advise him? What would you say about that particular thing?
I would say that if the negative ramifications came, right, the social media, let's say there's haters on social, if that bothered him, then I would say this is an unforced error. Remove it. It's an easy thing to solve for, right? If it was having a, if the ramifications were having a negative, if this isn't even Caleb, this is any one of my clients. If they were doing something they on their own that was creating some negative feedback and the negative feedback was impacting them, then this is a simple solution here. If it's not, then what are we talking about? Right. And I honestly think, and I'm not saying that this is why he does this, because I, one, I don't know. And two, it's none of my business. But the guys that are truly elite competitors, I've been around a couple of them. Not that are trying to have a good year, not that are trying to go pro or get paid, but are like trying to be the best ever and behave that way and have played on pace for that. Right. Like I actually think Caleb's trying to be the greatest athlete in American sports history. Like, I think that's actually kind of what he's trying to do. Right. And you might go, well, that's crazy. It's early. He's not even played it down in college. Well, I'd say, all right, well, Tom Brady's the best. Right. So I'd say Caleb's way ahead of pace. Tom Brady didn't really like, wasn't really like the starter at Michigan. And he wasn't the number one recruit in the country in the Heisman, in the Elite 11 finalists. He didn't win a Heisman. He wasn't the number one pick, right? So, like, if you start talking about like that, you go, well, dude, this guy's kind of like on pace for it. A lot can happen, but he's on pace. So, with Caleb, the level of competitiveness and how he, I mean, when he says, I visualized myself winning the Heisman a long time ago and really visualized himself winning too, that's not a cool story. Like, he did. So when you have somebody who thinks like that and they create some sort of controversy and people are talking and all that stuff, I think that ends up being good for him because it's just a headwind and it creates a chip on the shoulder of somebody who it's hard to find a chip when you're sitting here and you already know you're going number one.
It's let me just be very clear on this. Did you just say that you think that it is his goal to be the greatest athlete in American sports history? That's the way he's approaching it? That's his mindset?
He came on my podcast, the QB Room, week one of last season, and he said, like, my goal is to be, I think the, what was the word he used? It was strong. I think he said, my goal is to be legendary. I play the game to be, no, I play the game to be immortal. And I go, whoa, that's a big word. And, but I've known him since he was a junior in high school. He is, dude. And, like, honestly, civilians like you and I might think that's crazy, but the other guys who play like that, Joe Burrow, I'm not putting words in his mouth, but he's not trying to have a solid year. You know what I mean? He's not trying to make it really far. He's trying to win the Super Bowl every single year. The guys that get to that point where they're actually think they're the best player in the game and they're trying to prove it, there's a handful of them every year. Like, those guys don't think like civilians and they don't, you know, they don't, like, they're not satisfied with success. And so with Caleb, when he said on my podcast he wanted to be immortal, I don't know, I'm just translating that into a different way of saying it, like, be the best athlete ever. And, you know, he's off to a hot start.
You know, I get that. I get that. The guys like that, there's great, there's elite, there's special, you know, and then there's the GOAT. Is there anybody else in this draft class that you see like that? Like, the guy that you're talking about that doesn't just want to be great but wants to be immortal. Is there anybody in this class that you see the same way or that you would say the same thing about?
Yeah, I think Jaden Daniels is the guy. I think he'd go number one any other year. And I know his receivers were good. So were Burrow's. So were everybody who won the Heisman. So were Jason White's, you know what I mean? But I've been around Jaden since he was little. He's so consistent, Jim. He's just like, is always the same. And he's just quiet enough and he's just humble. He's not just humble enough. He's incredibly humble. he just tries to find a way every offseason to get better and change something. And I know it probably sounds like that's what everybody does. It's not. That's not what everybody does. Dudes have success and they keep doing what they've been doing. A lot of times they don't constantly try and evolve and innovate. He did it in high school. Go back and look up his high school numbers. They're just stupid. Wally had a 4.0, by the way. And then in college, I watched him at ASU. You know, something like happened when he was at ASU that nobody talks about today. Oregon had a chance to go to the BCS national title game, Justin Herbert's last year. They were the favorite. I think they were ranked in the top four. And they had one game to go. They just had to go to Arizona State, and they were playing a true freshman. And Jaden Daniels torched Oregon and ruined their BCS championship, like ruined their shot at it. And Herbert played his ass off. He just got outplayed. And it's long enough ago where nobody's talking about it, but I'm talking about it because that kid was 18 when he did it. And Herbert's got 50 pounds on him and was getting ready to be a top five pick. And then he just like kept doing that. And this last year it exploded and it all clicked. And if they had a good defense, that's your national championship team. And so I just see him translating to the league really well. The way he works, how smart he is, the playmaking, his running is going to translate. Deep ball, man, like his accuracy versus man. And then I think this, the way he carries himself and how professional he is. I think Jaden is a lock to be a star in this league. And honestly, really quickly.
So let me tell you about something. The other day, I come across a product that all of us should be carrying around. It's amazing. It's something different for fresh breath. It is an incredible product called Zelman's Minty Mouth. And guys, it is a game changer. If you're up in the grill of somebody else and you're making your case for whatever it is, make sure your breath is fresh. Zelman's cleans your breath in a way that other mints don't and can't, because it's not just a mint. It's a functional breath freshener capsule that you swallow. It's clinically tested against the toughest offenders, even garlic and onions. You just pop two or three in your mouth, suck the minty coating, then swallow the capsule for the confidence of fresh, clean breath that lasts for hours. The product is like nothing else you've ever tried. It fights bad breath in your mouth. It then goes right down to your gut. This is the ultimate hack to get rid of coffee, garlic, or smoker's breath. You're going to like having the confidence of long-lasting fresh breath, or you get your money back guaranteed. These folks will give you your money back. Not that you're going to want it, but they will. They've got free shipping if you order three packs or more, and trust me, you're going to want more. And nobody likes to pay for shipping. Go to Zelmans.com right now. That's Zelmins.com. Right now, you'll get 15% off when you use the promo code ROME. Zelmins.com. You do have to use the code ROME to get your 15% savings, ROME. See, Jordan, before you go, and I could do this forever, I appreciate you so much. You mentioned Jordan Love at the very top of the conversation, and I'm kind of curious. Like, it seemed like halfway through the year, there were still, like, these questions. Is he the guy? Is he the guy? Are they going to build around him going forward? And then all of a sudden, the second half of the year, it's like, they found him. They found another one. There's your franchise quarterback. This guy is unbelievable. How did you process that whole thing? Like, did you know that he was that guy? What were you thinking halfway through the year, and then what were you thinking by the end of the year?
So it was a matter of time for me, and I went in the media and said this, just everybody be patient, almost like, let's rewind the clock here 5 years and just say R-E-L-A-X, relax, right. Like when Aaron said it, right? And I go, this guy's going to be just fine, it's going to click, because he's confident enough to struggle early and then reset each week. He's not one of those guys where two bad games is going to make him doubt himself. And so for me, it was a win, not if, this year. But let's talk about the measuring stick. And it's the same measuring stick Aaron had. Aaron replaced Brett Favre. We all know that, right? A legend, a Hall of Famer, okay? Well, again, Jordan Love, right? Even worse because they drafted him in the first round, you know? So the measuring stick. So you know my brother Carson. You've known him forever, right? Carson's 6'5", so am I, right? But when we were growing up, I didn't really grow until my freshman year. I was 5'7", 130 going into Santa Margarita High School my freshman year.
Huh.
And I'm 6'5", 240 now. And so when you got the little like measuring stick, like we had in the garage that my mom would pencil in how tall we were, as a kid, I always thought I was short because Carson grew kind of like normally, you know what I mean? I grew like 7 inches in 2 years, like when I got to high school.
Dude, what was so that like? Yeah, let me interrupt. What was that like? What, can I ask you, what did that, how badly did that jack you up physically, emotionally, and otherwise? 7 inches in 2 years. What was that like?
I peaked in basketball in eighth grade. Me and Tyson Chandler played on the Nike traveling team, and I was the point guard, and I was a baller. And my sophomore year at Santa Margarita, I was on the sophomore team, dribbling the ball off my foot. Ruined me. Puberty was tough for me for 2 years.
I bet, dude.
So I returned punts my freshman year.
Incredible.
And then didn't really ever run the ball until I got to college.
That's so wild. Okay. Finish that thought.
So my measuring stick. Okay. So, you know, my mom's measuring both the boys. And so she's writing down my height. And then I'm right next to it, about 3 inches above it, is Carson when he was that age. So I'm like, damn, I'm like way shorter. You know, so I'm like, you know, what's wrong? And, you know, like I'm so much shorter than he was, and we didn't know he was going to be 6'5", right? And then I end up being the same height. But my point is like, had my mom just measured me and that wasn't my brother or his stuff wasn't up there, I would have gone, oh yeah, good. I'm getting taller. But because I had this measuring stick, I felt short for years. So when you become a first round pick and then you take over as the franchise, Bryce Young has a different measuring stick. Trevor Lawrence had a different measuring stick. Joe Burrow had a different measuring stick. Those guys are all number one picks. Look at all these other first-round picks. They have a different measuring stick than you are replacing Aaron Rodgers and got to sit behind him for a couple years. So the expectations are automatically unrealistic. And it takes a confident person who believes in themselves, obviously who's good too, to be able to have to struggle for 4 or 5 games, get a little bit better through 3, and then go, all right, I got this, and then just catch fire.
All right, so leave me with this thought then. So where does the measuring stick, how does that analogy work with somebody you know well and you've worked with in Sam Darnold? Sam Darnold was the 3rd overall pick in 2018. Sam Darnold is now on his 4th team. How do you think he'll fit with the Vikings, and where does that leave him professionally? Where is he at?
Yeah, Sam, before I say anything about Sam, I'm 100% biased. I've known this guy since he was 14. He's like a little brother, right? So there's some context. So anybody who's going to get in the comments section and go like, oh, he's just friends with him. Yeah, I am.
Right.
But now let's get to the factual side of it. So with Sam, I got a couple of clients where I'll make this statement. And then usually I make this statement all the time for however long this period of time lasts. The guys that I make this statement to are the guys that never miss a workout, are always bought in, always do the right thing, never cut corners, and can play. Okay. Sam is that. I'm never, since I've been around him, has he ever had to bail on a Friday workout or I got to bail 10 minutes? Like never once, right? He's like my brother in that. He's just a machine, and football is the most important thing, and everything else is second. And he can play. And so, like the line that him and a couple other guys is like, look, for guys like you, there will be a time and place where you'll be in a situation where all you have to do is play to the best of your ability and you'll be in every game with a chance to make a run at the end. And I've been hoping for 5 years that he would be in that. And he just hasn't yet. Had he played to the best of his ability for the last, you know, for his first 4 years in the league, they would not have been in every game and they would not have ever had a chance to make a run at the end. It was not him, but he also had 5 coordinators in 5 years, I think 4 head coaches. And for 2 or 3 years, his number one wideout was Robbie Anderson. He would never say this, but I am like, I don't know if he's in the league right now. Right. And situationally, finally a couple of years ago in Carolina, he starts rolling the first 4 games of the season. And then McCaffrey gets hurt and the whole offense runs through that. And so this last year, I think what it was an incredible reset. And it was a chance to be around winners. And I'm not talking about in the locker room with your buddies. I mean, the way that they run the Niners is a winning organization. The best players on the Niners are also the most accountable players. You know what I mean by that?
Like, yes,
they're also
absolutely.
The guys that do it.
Absolutely.
Right.
That's the best thing you could have.
That's not the norm. Okay. That is not status quo. And so for him to go there and get exposure to it, because it wasn't like that in Carolina under either coach. It wasn't like that with the Jets. and you know this, it wasn't like that in LA with Clay Helton. And so really this last year was the first year where it's almost like, oh, okay, this is what it looks like, right? So for him to now go to play for Kevin O'Connell, his quarterback coach is Josh McCown, by the way, who was mentored him as a rookie and the best vet outside of my brother I've been in a room with. I backed up Josh in Chicago.
Huh.
And then now you start talking about personnel, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, the tight end, Hawkinson, they add, you know, Aaron Jones. That division is up for grabs, even though Detroit's rolling and all that, you know, but it's not like Green Bay just had it on lock for a decade. And I think my hope is that he's finally in a situation where all he has to do is play to the best of his ability, and he's going to be in every single game with a chance to make a run at the end.
Let's talk for a minute about O'Reilly Auto Parts, because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road and offering helpful service and parts knowledge that you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They have thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. And they can also test your battery for free. If it needs to be replaced, they will help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. When you need a specialty tool to finish the job, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and ask about their loaner tool program. Simply pay a refundable deposit and borrow the right tool, then get your deposit back when it's returned. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome.
See, I'm not you, and I certainly not in a million years. You've forgotten more than I would ever know, but even I know this, man. Fit and situation are everything, right? That's what we're talking about here. Fit and situation. He could do all the right things. He could be about all the right stuff. He could be the right talent, the right guy. But if he's in the wrong fit with the wrong situation, it won't matter, right?
It won't. And, I mean, the gap physically, when you watch people work out, the gap between him and whoever you think the best are in the league right now, the gap is not what you think it is. Velocity, accuracy, how sudden his movement is, how fluid he is. I still think he's top one, two, or three best off-platform throwers in the NFL on the run. And then, you know, he got punched in the stomach over and over and over again on the field in New York and then for damn sure in the media. Like, find me the clip where he doesn't own it. Find me the clip where he shows frustration. Find me the clip where he barks back at somebody. His ability and his emotional intelligence, his maturity to take all that on, all the people who would click and write dumb things and say stuff are the types of people who could absolutely, if they're being honest, never respond to adversity that way.
100%.
So yeah. He's the youngest first round pick in NFL history, thrown into a dumpster fire. New team, boom, ship him off. And I just think finally he's playing for a head coach who played the position and gets it, a quarterback coach who played the position for 20 years and gets it. Good personnel around him, smaller market, not that that matters, but I just think, I don't know. My hope is that he's in a situation where all he has to do is play to the best of his abilities and he'll be in every game with a chance to make a run at the end.
Right. I mean, we saw what happened to Zach Wilson. You put him in the same situation, gets the same kind of heat, and we saw how he reacted and how badly that thing went and the way he did lash out and the way he did point fingers. You know, not to drag him like that, but I think there's a comparison there. Listen, before you go, what about the summer tour? For those who don't know, what is the summer tour and where is it going to take you in the coming months?
Yeah, so I run the majority of my time is with NFL and college players, but I run something called the Summit Tour. Summit's my business, we have six more stops around the country this next weekend. We're going to be in Salt Lake City, middle school and high school quarterbacks. It's an incredible experience for the parents, too, because we get outside of just the mechanics. We dive into how to deal with a lot of these things. This year I'm doing an entire theme on a friend of mine, Dr. Mike Gervais, wrote a book.
Love him. You know, love the dude.
Centered around the fear of other people's opinions. And So, you know, us diving really deep into what we do with other people's opinions. So there's some sports psychology aspect to it. A lot of throws, a lot of offense, a lot of defense. And so I keep them small and a lot of attention to detail. And I call it a transformative weekend because you're going to leave thinking about the position and how to develop differently. And so QBSummit.com is where you find it. And middle school and high school quarterbacks, it's definitely the best camp in the country.
Dude, nobody better. I hope that I did not wreck that Guinness, which I know that you earned. But, man, what a great conversation, Jordan. I really appreciate you. You know I appreciate your time, and every single time I feel much better for it. Dude, thank you so much for that.
Rome, you are the man. Anytime I get a text or anything about this, the answer is yes. I love talking game with you.
By the way, that's the truth, too. That's not even something you just say. That is true. You always say yes, and I always appreciate it, man. I appreciate you. I appreciate your expertise. I appreciate the friendship. Go get it, Jordan. We'll do it again soon.
You need to come out, and I'm on about 20 minutes south of you. You need to come jump in on some of these workouts and get to know these guys and watch this. I think you'd have a blast.
I'm telling you, every single time I talk to this dude, I have the same exact reaction. Holy crap, he is locked in, sharp as hell, plugged in, and brings an amazing perspective and is always a great conversation, which is why I always enjoy chopping it up with him. So my thanks to Jordan for once again making the time to stretch out and making the original side hustle even better. That's what this pod is all about, giving you access to premium, long form, and most importantly, free conversations that you cannot find anywhere else. And I am still fired up to bring you those conversations even after 300 plus episodes. They all hold up, by the way. Go back, give any of them a spin, and you'll see it for yourself. Or take a second to subscribe. That's the easiest way to keep up with the pod and make sure you never miss an ep. That way you don't have to go looking for it. It will find you instead. So consider finding that button and slamming that subscribe button, and I will catch you next week for episode 308 right here.